Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Oh yeah, we thought we would have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't, hey, but that's Kayla. Okay. It's totally okay. And it's I can't okay. even express how much fun it is to do this with you week after week, Candace, truly. Even though we can't see each other in person anymore because you are far away in Nashville and so excited. Just seeing you through the screen means more than you know. Speaking of, tell me what it's like in Nashville. Tell our listeners, how is life over there?
Oh, it's beautiful. I truly love it. Like everything's so green and there's horses. There's recreational cows. Like there's not even like driving my 5-year-old. We were driving to like a gymnastics thing. And then all of a sudden there's just like, it's not a farm. It's just like a beautiful house with like a larger front yard and just like cows. I just love the idea of recreational cows and I got recreational chickens. So that's where most of my time and energy has been, is really taking care of my chickens, not moving in the house, just really, you know, brightening up that chicken coop and, you know, just getting down and dirty with the country life.
Right.
Yes. I made some spider spray. That was a big activity.
You handmade spider spray? Like you made it? Sorry, what? Please explain.
Well, apparently giant freaking spiders love to hang out on chicken coops and they don't do anything. They don't eat the bugs. They don't like help the chickens. They just make webs everywhere and look terrifying. And so you can't use like regular bug spray because then it's going to be harmful to the chickens. And these are, you know, outdoor spiders in their own habitat. So I like feel bad taking them out.
Right.
So there is this like organic way of like telling the spiders, get out of here. And it's with some witch hazel and peppermint oil. So I have concocted my spider spray, which I spray on my chicken coop. And I am happy to report that the terrifying giant spiders have not returned. Because what I was doing before that was taking a broom and then like quickly running it around this coop and getting all the spiders on the broom and then throwing the broom into the yard. And Joe kept like having to go outside to pick up the various brooms and dusters that I was just leaving in the yard with the scary spiders.
I feel like we need a coop cam. Can we set up a camera where there's just a live feed of you at the chicken coop?
Yes. I would love to make that happen. Yeah, the bugs have been very scary. I felt the need to share about the spiders because the spiders are just the tip of the iceberg. And part of what we wanted to talk about today all stemmed from the fact that being in Tennessee, all of a sudden I started hearing everybody talk about bugs, you know, like, oh yeah, there's spiders. Earlier in the year, everyone was talking about cicadas, but the other bug that everyone kept bringing up was, oh my gosh, you're going to love Tennessee. It's so much fun. Your kids are going to love it. Just be careful about ticks. Like, have you ever had to worry about ticks in California growing up there?
No. I mean, I always knew about ticks, obviously, and that sometimes they transfer Lyme disease, but uneducated me thought that ticks lived on some faraway river, like the Nile River, somewhere really far away, and that they never would affect me. But the truth is, you're right. They are everywhere. And especially, I think you moved to a place where ticks are extremely prominent, and you also have a property that has, you know, a forest on it. Is that the correct term?
Yeah, it's a giant conservatory. No, we just have like, but we have like a foresty area. We have a lot of trees. There's deer out here. And when I was out here a couple months ago, talking to people who'd grown up in Tennessee, the other thing I kept hearing about was not only ticks, but like so many people I've met have this tick disease called alpha gal syndrome, where you get bit by a tick and it's not necessarily Lyme, but you automatically all of a sudden become severely allergic to red meat and some sort of like protein. Yeah, there's some sort of molecule that gets in the protein of whether it's like beef, pork, lamb. Some people become allergic to dairy or even like medications or soaps that have like traces of animal byproduct in it. But all of a sudden from getting a tick bite, you are like severely allergic to all this red meat. And so alpha gal syndrome was something I kept hearing about as well. I knew that Lyme disease existed. When I was in high school, there was a girl that I knew who a year after graduation, we had met back up in Orlando, and I'd heard that, you know, she said, I'm really sick and they say it's Lyme disease. And so it was the first time that I'd heard about it. And I'd actually, you know, felt really grateful for the opportunity to work with various Lyme organizations to help spread awareness on educating yourself and the fact every summer we just need to be sure to check ourselves and the realities of what Lyme disease is and chronic Lyme. And so I've always known about it and I've always been really, really terrified about it. But I just didn't feel like, obviously it exists in California, but I didn't feel like
it's not a constant threat.
No, it doesn't feel like a constant threat. And so the second that I got to Tennessee, like, you know, 5 out of the 10 people I met had this alpha gal syndrome. Wow. And then everyone's telling me to watch out for ticks. And so that's why I was like, Kayla, I feel like I need to educate myself mm-hmm. on tick-borne illnesses and Lyme disease. And, you know, and I'm so grateful that you were excited and also wanted to educate yourself on this subject matter. Because a lot of people suffer from Lyme and a lot of people don't know that it even exists.
Right. And that's why today we're going to sit down with Frances Silva. She is a photographer and documentary filmmaker alongside her partner and husband, Tony C. Silva. They made a documentary called The Monster Inside of Me. And it's a documentary about her journey with chronic Lyme disease. And it includes first-person interviews with people and medical professionals telling their personal stories about contracting rare diseases, most of them being parasitic, and ending up with Lyme. So without further ado, here is our in-depth conversation with Frances Silva of the documentary, The Monster Inside of Me.
So before we discuss your story and before we discuss your movie that Kayla and I were so grateful to have the opportunity to watch. We would love if you could tell our listeners, if they're sitting down listening to this podcast episode thinking, oh, I've never heard Lyme. What's Lyme disease? If they've never heard that before, what would you tell them? What is kind of a simple, if there is one, I'm sure there's not, but if you can make a simple answer as to what is Lyme disease?
Well, typically people associate Lyme disease as a tick-borne illness, which there's a lot of information out there today that indicates you can get it many other ways aside from just a tick, but we'll stick to the simple. And let's assume that I was bitten by a tick at some point. And in my case, I never saw the standard bullseye rash. And essentially what happens when you are bitten by a tick is it releases bacteria into your bloodstream. And then the bacteria has a heyday and travels throughout every area of your body and shuts down your immune system. And then you get to deal with all of that goodness after that. So
this disease is so fascinating because not only is there a struggle with, once you're diagnosed, struggling and there's a battle with the disease, but there's also a battle with the diagnosis of the disease. You had mentioned you didn't see the standard bullseye. And when researching this, I found out 72% of patients see three or more doctors before they're diagnosed, which is absurd to me. And can you share with us your struggle with the diagnosis to begin with? And then we can lead into your experience having the disease.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I mean, everyone that I personally have come in contact has shared very similar stories. And it's alarming once you sit down and begin to hear these patterns over and over again. And in my case, I thought I was super healthy. 3 weeks before my body shut down, I was exercising every day, running around the lake on the weekends. I had just come back from a girls' trip to Cozumel and Miami and Key West. And 3 weeks after that trip, I was completely bedridden, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't move, couldn't drive myself to work. So, you know, initially when my body started to shut down out of nowhere, I, of course, went to my primary care physician, and there were some inner, overlapping, let's say there were some overlapping symptoms that, they initially diagnosed me with myositis, and that's because my muscles were breaking down, which is the reason why I had become bedridden. And so, of course, I went through a series of tests and biopsies to try to determine what it was. And indeed, I do have myositis. So they put me on prednisone. And then once I started trying to get off of prednisone many months later, all my symptoms came back. And then that's finally when I went in to get tested for Lyme, based on my now husband's encouragement to had a lot of exposure to dealing with people with Lyme disease. So for me, I didn't have to go through, well, I did see a rheumatologist and urologist, my primary care, and they all thought it was just simply myositis. But, you know, there are many patients out there who see at least 5 to 20 different doctors before they have any clue.
Well, I think the second you start diving into, or if you just type in Lyme disease in Google, it would be pretty quickly that you realize how many co-infections and how many, one door leads to the next door that leads to a window that leads to a trap door that leads to a basement. And you can get lost in various forms of diagnosis. So I want to touch on the fact you mentioned the bullseye, and just for any of our listeners that don't know what that is, typically what is said is that if you get bit by a tick that has Lyme, you will have this bullseye rash that appears around the infected area to show that you've been bitten by an infected tick. Obviously, we all said that a lot of people actually don't have a bullseye rash that shows up. And they call it a bullseye because it's red in the middle and there's a red circle around it. Just for anyone that was wondering what that was. You mentioned that you started to feel sick. You were were running every day, you were traveling, you were thriving. And this would have been, I think you mentioned in your documentary, around in your early 20s when you started to seek out medical help for various.
Well, this all happened 6 years ago. And so it was not my early 20s, but going back to my early 20s, now that I've looked over my medical history, I can kind of see the pattern as it was unraveling leading up to my breakdown, you know, my body just kind of breaking down. There are a lot of telltale signs that people miss along the way. Simple things, as easy as I was having constant UTIs, constant yeast infections, which is just your body becomes this open door to allow a variety of fungus, parasites, viruses, bacteria to come into. And, you know, I wasn't aware. So, of course, as I was going to the doctor, I was just being treated one symptom at a time.
Right.
And so by the time I was out of my 20s, I had already seen the doctor for a variety of things with no thought whatsoever that it could have been related to Lyme. And as I said, now looking back, I see the pattern and see all the symptoms that correlated.
I think one of the most distressing details about this disease is its ability to morph and remain undetected, and how it does awaken all those co-infections that you've discussed. And when in the documentary, you guys talk about how it can mimic over 300 other diseases. And that to me is the most terrifying thing, because as you said, you think it's one specific thing and then it ends up being all interconnected. For those listening that think, oh, wait, I've had that and I've had that, can you just share a little bit more insight into how you were able to kind of understand and narrow it down to Lyme disease specifically?
You know, for me, it wasn't until I began treatment. I actually treated at a clinic in Arizona. And so I had an opportunity to not only speak with a variety of doctors while I was there, but many other patients. And, you know, we just began sharing. And of course, the more research I did, I was able to determine that the neurological symptoms that I was experiencing were all related to Lyme. So in my case, I was back in my early 30s, I had been diagnosed with clinical depression after I had lost my mother to an autoimmune disease. From there, it was then anxiety, you know, just chronic anxiety. And then as I began treatment, it got a heck of a lot worse. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like cancer. When you start to treat, things just take a turn for the worst. So then a lot of symptoms started to come out. And it was mostly just being able to dialogue with other people and recognize those shared symptoms. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of things that start to creep in that you wouldn't even think that were associated with Lyme disease.
It sounds like you had to do most of this research on your own, and that then you have to be your own spokesperson, essentially. What kind of toll does that take on you when you keep going to various doctors and medical practices looking for answers, and then you have to become your own medical detective?
Yeah, absolutely. And we hear that more and more, that we have to be our own advocate of our own health. Because as we were doing the documentary, the more physicians that we interviewed, we kept finding out that a lot of them are not being taught a full course about Lyme disease, a full course about nutrition. They may have one class, you know, that just kind of touches on the general area of those things. And so as I began to do my own research, as Kayla mentioned, I found out that it was all interconnected. And it becomes discouraging and overwhelming, because you then begin to question the healthcare system, and you begin to notice the patterns in the way that patients are treated. A lot of times when you go see your doctor, they will look at the symptoms and then give you a prescription for the symptoms. They're not trying to figure out, well, where is this coming from? And so in my experience, I had to go then over to allopathic care and, you know, functional medicine, integrative medicine, where they kind of combine both. Well, they combine the philosophy of whole body treatment, you know, the whole system. For some reason in Western medicine, they're just not digging that deep. So then it's up to us, you know, to start digging deep and finding out how to heal our body in every aspect.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
Thank you.
And we're back.
There's this beautiful love story that's intertwined in your documentary that your now husband, Tony, was coincidentally researching Lyme disease when you two met. You had not been diagnosed yet. And I just think there's this lovely part of life where you two met right when you needed each other. And right, really, he guided you. And like, as you said in the beginning of this interview, he guided you to go to a doctor to discuss Lyme disease. And had you two not met, that may not have been your path, or it may have been a much windier path to find out the fact that you did have Lyme. And you also touch on how important it is to have someone in your life that will go through this with you. What was that experience like finding him, finding someone who would love you through all of it? And, you know, the Lyme rage is definitely something we want to touch on as well. And, you know, just finding that person that will go through it with you no matter what, because this is a disease that doesn't just affect the patient. It affects the family and the loved ones surrounding them so significantly as well.
Yes, yes. And you're right. I don't know where I would be had I not met my husband, Tony. He had been doing testimonial videos for the clinic that I eventually ended up treating at. So he was interviewing these Lyme patients over and over again and listening to their symptoms and their struggles. And when he and I first met, I was diagnosed with myositis on April 1st of 2015. And we met in May. And so I was already starting to have a lot of symptoms and struggling, you know, with my mobility and things of that nature. And the more I shared with him, he kept telling me, you know, your situation sounds very similar to these stories that I've heard over and over again. And I would highly suggest that you go get tested. And I put it off for months. I mean, it was about 7 months that I just ignored that. And of course, with him encouraging me, I eventually did go get tested and found out. So I don't know what my life would have looked like and what turn I would have taken had he not entered right at that time. I probably would have ended up like a lot of people, sick for many, many years, seeing, you know, 15 to 20 different doctors before I figured out what was going on with me. And in the documentary, yes, I did state how important it is to have someone in your corner. And it was strange because when I first was exposed to the Lyme community, I kept hearing stories from other people about how they were losing friendships and they were losing family members. And I thought that was kind of crazy and I was highly skeptical. I did not see that happening to myself in my own circle of family and friends. But lo and behold, there came a day down the road where eventually I did end up losing one of my best friends because I had an episode in front of her. And whether or not she was able to understand that or not, I will never know. But we no longer talk. And now I have found myself in a situation where I can completely relate to those losses while having Lyme. And it's not only very painful, but it's eye-opening. And of course, then it cements those relationships of those who are in your corner and who do stand by you. And my husband, of course, has been amazing how he was able to manage me, especially during the years that I was being treated. I have no idea because we went through some tough times, but I'm very, very grateful that I had somebody to go through that with.
When you reference an episode, is it in reference to Lyme rage, which you discussed in the documentary? Yes, you're nodding your head. Yes. What did a difficult day look like? I really want to highlight just how debilitating this disease is for anyone that's, oh, wait, you get a tick bite, you kind of don't feel good, wait, your muscles hurt. And just to so that anyone can truly understand how life-altering Lyme disease is. Can you walk us through what a bad day would be like during treatment and before diagnosis?
I think one thing that people don't understand, it is multisystemic, which means the bacteria itself, which is like a corkscrew, goes through your bloodstream and it has access to all of your organs, your muscles, your tissues. It even has the ability to get into your brain. So when you think about, and then it multiplies. So there's this invasion you know, there's this foreign invasion living, literally living inside of your body, and it begins to alter every area of your body and affect every area of your life. So a really bad day would be, for me, I woke up in the morning after 8 to 10 hours of sleep. In my past life, I would have been refreshed, ready to go. 4 hours later, I'm exhausted after doing nothing but just getting up and trying to, you know, get me something to eat, trying to get in the shower, trying to get dressed. By that time, I need a nap because I'm depleted physically. And then when you're that sick and you have, you're struggling from your neurological Lyme, there's a lot of things that are happening. For instance, I had a sensory overload. So anything, so I became very sensitive to sound, to light, to smells. And the best place to be is just kind of hiding in your bed under the blankets in a dark room, because you really can't handle much else. There's the your body becomes stressed out. And like I said, there's depression and anxiety. And it's not depression because, oh, my life is so awful and, you know, I'm completely unhappy. It's depression just because the chemicals in your body are so off that you literally just can't function normally. And I know a lot of times in our documentary, we talked about, myself and others included, about not having control. And that's really, really hard to grasp. You know, the fact that we don't have control over our emotions or control over our thoughts. But there was a time too, where I was having intrusive thoughts that would just come into my mind so quickly that I didn't know what it was like to have peace or rest or a still mind. So when you're in those situations, you don't know what's going on with you and you feel like you're going crazy and nobody can relate and you don't know how to talk to your family and friends about this stuff because they have no clue what that even feels like. You know, that's what it's like, in short, living with Lyme. Of course, there's, like I said, it's multi-systemic. So in a lot of cases, it affects people, their liver, their kidneys. In my case, my mobility, the brain, neurologically, there's a lot of things. So that's in short, a bad day.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to take us back to the term Lyme rage, because that was a term I'd never heard before. And then obviously watching your documentary and doing research on this, it came up so often. And just for our listeners, because we brushed over it for a minute and they may not know what that is, can you take us through the experience of that? Because, you know, you talk about how important it is to have your community. And then this significant part of the disease is battling against that community that you need in order to continue to heal. And it's interesting because there's an awareness level that it seems that you have while you're in the Lyme rage, where you understand that what is happening is not something you want to happen, but then you don't have control over your body to stop it. And that's just something I gathered from it. And I'm wondering if that's a correct assumption and what that feels like to go through that.
Yeah, there's a point where your emotions become so heightened that you can't bring them down. I mean, and you go from 0 to 10 so quickly. And I think for me, the best way to describe it is brain inflammation, because there were so many times where I felt like my brain was on fire. And when that happens, I would experience disassociation where I could no longer relate to my surroundings. I could no longer reason with logic. Everything was just so heightened that it was just like you're in flight or fight mode. That's where you're at when you're experiencing Lyme rage. So your adrenaline is gone. And that's why I think it's so hard to try to bring yourself back down. There were a lot of things, crazy things that I would have to do just to calm myself back down once I reached that point. in those cases, I would tap into what I would call my emergency kit, because it was the only thing that I could rely on that would actually help me. Having to rely on an emergency kit is no fun, because you're doing things that you normally wouldn't have to do to take care of yourself. And just as an example, it would be like taking Xanax. I would have to take Xanax just to calm myself all the way down, on top of a lot of other things that I would have to do.
I think it's really brave and incredibly beautifully vulnerable that you included so much of that footage in the documentary that your husband took. I know it must have, I can imagine it must have been hard to see on the other side. So I just want to make sure we take a moment to just commend you on
it. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was very, very difficult.
When did you and Tony look at each other and say, we need to make a documentary, we need to film this, we need to put this out into the world? What was the igniting factor?
Well, I'm a photographer and he's a cinematographer. And I don't think we ever had a conversation where we said, not at the very beginning, where we said, okay, let's do this, let's try this. Essentially, my husband, he had thought to himself that he wanted to begin capturing some of these things. And one day I was on a girls' trip in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he had put together a little teaser and he had asked my permission if he could launch it on Facebook. And I said, okay, sure. And lo and behold, we got thousands of responses and people were emailing and they were saying that when they had watched just the clips that they could relate, they were crying. They said that they could identify with everything that I was talking about and the vulnerability that I had shared, which was amazing to me because I myself had felt so alone that I thought for sure there was nobody out there who was going through what I had gone through because I felt so crazy. Mm. But then all of a sudden when, you know, thousands of people started coming forward, acknowledging that they had experienced the same, that's when we realized that we could no longer keep quiet. We couldn't keep this stuff to ourselves. We had to share. We had to tell the story of others, essentially. And as far as I'm concerned, the best way is to show it. You can't just tell people what you're experiencing. You have to show them. And I was willing to be that guinea pig, not just to share my own story, but because I felt like there were so many others who were so desperate that their stories as well needed to be told and needed to be shared. And that's essentially why I decided to do it.
We really want to touch on the fact that there is a constant struggle that the Lyme and chronic Lyme community has with the CDC and the medical community as a whole. The fact that the CDC won't recognize Lyme disease as a chronic illness. And I believe at one point they did recognize it as chronic, but now at this point it no longer is recognized. Is that correct?
Yes. And they changed that to post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, which essentially just shows that you were exposed to Lyme and you have traces of it in your body, but it's not chronic. You don't need treatment for that. If it's showing in the tests, it's because you had it at one point and because the antigens show that it was present. But there are so many like myself who, if you don't catch it in its acute stages during the first 72 hours once you're bitten, then you go on living with that and it can lie dormant in your body. And then it's outside environments and outside things that cause it to no longer lay dormant. So a lot of times it will be stress or eating habits. And antibiotics, if you're on a lot of antibiotics, which will eventually, you know, shut down your immune system. So then you're dealing with a chronic issue now that the doctors are not acknowledging. They won't treat chronic Lyme. When I was treated for 4 months with IV antibiotics, 5 days out of the week for 6 hours a day. That's how much antibiotics I was receiving through my IV. Now, when you have acute Lyme, you can go through a 30-day course, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, let's say. 6 to 8 weeks is good. And then you can cure it at that point if you catch it. But for those of us who don't catch it, who don't have the telltale, the rash, the bullseye rash, and we have no idea that we've been exposed, then it begins to slowly, you know, invade our body and take over and it becomes chronic. And I think that they're still trying to find ways to treat it. There's no one way to treat Lyme that has been effective to the point where you will be cured from it.
And it's very difficult to catch it in that first 72 hours, exactly what you're saying, because again, first of all, not every tick carries Lyme.
Right.
That, not every tick. There are a lot of them that do. And the number of them that do, it's most people get Lyme from nymphal or immature form of the tick, which is about the size of a poppy seed. A poppy seed. Very, very, very small. So it's not like it's this giant grasshopper sized bug that's like jumping on you and you're just like, oh man, how did I miss that? And the longer that this poppy seed sized bug feeds on you, if it is an infected tick, the longer it feeds, the more chances that you have. And so there's just so much room for error, which is obviously why it's important, you know, year round, if you live anywhere that has ticks, you should always do tick checks on yourself, on your dog, on your children. But that there is the fact that like what you're looking for is very, very small. And so easy to miss. And so that's why I think it's so frustrating to hear that when so many people are suffering and where it's like, well, you just got to catch it early on. It's like, you're looking for a poppy seed and like a haystack. It's wild. And we could go on all day and all night and all week and all year about the frustrations that come with that. We talked about what a bad day looks like. I also think it's important we discuss what a good day looks like in case there are any listeners who, you know, have suffered from Lyme or various co-infections or chronic Lyme and need hope, which is what you guys also talk about in your documentary, which is a really important, necessary word in the Lyme community. What does a good day look like? And what was a good day in treatment? What did that look like?
Well, having Lyme disease is indeed a journey as well as going through treatment because you can treat off and on, which I have done. When I was going through treatment, there were some good days because I do remember there was a time that I was receiving this very special treatment that I only know is being practiced at this particular clinic. And it's where they're able to get the antibiotics up and across the blood-brain barrier. And you go through about 8 sessions of that. And once I was finally on the other side of receiving that session, I remember making a comment to my doctor saying, wow, I didn't realize that I had so much brain fog. This entire time, I've been seeing life through a dirty windshield. And finally, after receiving that treatment, things had become clear. Like I was starting to feel normal in my mind again, you know, like my old self. So there are good things about treatment when it does work. Most of the time, you experience it after treatment because there's so much going on during treatment and so many symptoms that surface while you're treating that it really is hard to have a good day during treatment. But once you actually stop and you kind of take a break from all of that, and then your life starts to mimic what it used to look like. Not 100%, because even now, you know, I will never be able to go back to who I used to be. And there was a time I used to grieve that, but now I've embraced that and I am a better person after everything that I've been through and everything that I've learned and all the amount of, you know, emotional suffering. It has led to so much growth. And so I think on the other side, once you finally are able to get to a point of healing, then in my case, it's very difficult to say this, but in my case, it's become one of those kind of hidden blessings in my life, you know, only because it's made me a stronger person. It's given me much more empathy towards others in general in life. And so those are beautiful things to look forward to on the other side of healing from Lyme, I think.
That word healing is so powerful because you are right. For chronic Lyme, there is no magic medicine. There's no cure. And so you had spoken in the documentary about how instead of finding the quote unquote cure, you found healing and the deeper meaning of that word. And that meant to you keeping the hope and your spirit alive within you. And I thought that was so powerful and so lovely because the truth is that simple concept can help anyone in their life, no matter what they're battling. And we all have our battles. And I just thought that was so beautifully said. And I really commend you for going on that journey and coming out. Your light at the end of the tunnel is that word. And that's so powerful.
Yes, it is a powerful word, healing. And I like to think in my case, the healing came into my body in so many ways. I mean, just emotional healing, healing from wounds from the past, from past traumas, healing in different areas of my body now, because I am so fine-tuned with everything that happens with my body. I know exactly what it needs. Mm-hmm. And I am much more conscious about how to take care of myself. And I have made a commitment to doing that. Whereas in the past, I was much more lax and much more loose about those things. And the majority of that is in the things that we eat, the things that we consume, because they have either so much benefits, right, or not. So it's important to really understand how what we eat affects us. And then spiritual healing as well. It took me into a deeper path where I began seeking much more and became much more serious about this life that we live, you know. Why am I here? Who am I? Who are we as a human species? That I began to explore those areas of my life as well and open myself up to asking more of those questions and seeking more of those answers. So it was important to me to receive that whole body healing or holistic, so to speak, you know, where we're dealing with mind, body, and soul and not just trying to give me a pill so I could feel better and I could go on living my life the way I used to be.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back.
Do members of the chronic Lyme community need to, is there a medication that has to be taken always, or is it just each person is different? At this point, you went from having, you said 5 days a week, 6 hours a day on IVs to have antibiotics going to attack the Lyme and various co-infections in your body. What does it look like today after that? I mean, I know that you can't be cured of Lyme, but are you in remission? Is there a word for it? Is there a process, you know, at this moment in time, is there a term that you would consider yourself in?
Yeah, the goal is to get to remission. And there's times where I often wonder, am I 100% in remission? I don't know, because trips like the one that I took several months ago, it seems like every time I travel, it sets me back. So I have either relapsed or flared up. But I know neurologically, I'm in a much healthier place. I'm no longer living in a bunch of brain fog. And I'm able to make affirmative decisions for myself without, and be proactive and goal set. That was one thing that I stopped doing, was setting goals, because they were so hard to achieve. And so I think the best thing to do is to realize that remission may not look 100% like cure. To me, remission is managing your care, managing your health, with many more good days than bad days. So for me, I would have in my past, when I was really sick, I would have one or two good days a week. Now I have one bad day a week, or, you know, a few bad days a month. And so I still have to manage my care, and I'm not cured, you know, I'm not 100%, but I do believe that's what remission looks like. I mean, I don't know that anybody has come out forthright and said remission is a list of things, but as far as I'm concerned, it is, you know, having that brighter outlook towards your future. It's being able to accept yourself where you're at. It's being able to manage your health and your care, and to no longer mourn over those things in the past, you know, who you used to be, the things that you used to be able to do. To me, that's what remission looks like and what healing looks like.
Can you take us through what the key signs of Lyme are, and so we can hopefully be able to prevent it? Some of our listeners who, this is their first time even learning of Lyme disease, and now they're, you know, trying to figure out how to prevent it.
I think one of the reasons why a lot of people miss Lyme when they've been bitten is because the onset of symptoms are much like a flu. You become feverish, you experience malaise, you might have some muscle weakness, you just don't feel 100% like yourself. Mm-hmm. And those are the onset symptoms. So a lot of, if you don't have that bullseye rash, then you think you just have a cold or the flu. And so you need to be aware of what those symptoms look like. You definitely need to be able to check yourself or have somebody check you in those areas that ticks commonly like to hide.
Which are what areas?
Like behind your neck, behind your knees, just the warm, dark areas.
The armpit areas of the body.
Yep.
Yes. Those areas.
Groin, toes, hair.
And what's important, you know, before I was diagnosed, I was a lover of life. I mean, I have such an adventurous spirit that there is nothing that I wouldn't consider doing. I was the girl who was willing to jump out of a plane and to jump, you know, to go hot air ballooning and bungee jumping and scuba diving in the blue hole. I did all those things, but without any recognition of the fact that there's this tiny little insect out there that may attach itself to me and completely change my life. And that's exactly what happened. When that happened, I have no idea. So I always try to tell people, if you love going outside for walks, you like to walk your dog, you like to go for runs, you like to go hiking, you like to do any of those outdoor activities, please, please, please make sure that you protect yourself. Put the deer tick spray on. And there's other things that you can use to spray your clothes down. So silly things like tucking your socks, into your socks to eliminate any skin being accessible for them to make contact with. I just think it's really important. We live in a time where you just can no longer go out there and not consider those things and prepare for those things.
Yeah. No, the reality is that there's a lot more people in the world. So it's not like these ticks have like also just like magically appeared. We are, you know, expanding beyond just city centers and towns are getting bigger. We're going out into different spaces. So it only makes sense that we are now in more areas where there are deer and there are deer tick and there are, you know, we are around the Lyme infected ticks. Like this, it just makes complete sense and why exactly what you're saying. It's not like don't ever go outside, don't go on a hike. It's just take the extra precautions. It's the same as if you're going to be, you know, heading out into an area that you know has mosquitoes, wear mosquito spray. If you're going to be hiking in the woods, yeah, maybe it doesn't look so cool on your Instagram. Take it off for a second, but tuck those leggings back into the socks and, you know, wear appropriate shoes and, you know, wear a hat to cover your hair. And it's just like, just those little things can make such a big difference. And it's just for your own personal safety. And I'm so grateful that we're able to have this conversation because, you know, knowledge is power and it's important to be educated on how to protect yourself. With something that is a growing epidemic, really.
Could I ask one question? Because you said wear the deer tick repellent. Does normal insect repellent work? Or do we have to make sure that it's a specific type of repellent only for ticks?
Yes, it has to be specific.
Okay. Okay.
Tick repellent.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing that we did talk about in our documentary is that they are discovering that it's not only ticks that can release this bacteria into your blood. It can be any blood sucking insect. So it could be fleas, lice, mosquitoes, you know, anything that would attach itself to you and start to suck your blood and in return deposit bacteria into your system.
Which is terrifying. it is. And but, it just seems so easily accessible.
But where can we go? Where can we go? Where can our listeners and where can we go to get, can you get tested for Lyme? Is there a website that you highly recommend as part of the Lyme community that is a trusted resource for anyone that has more questions and wants to educate themselves more fully?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of organizations out there that cater to the Lyme community, both on a national and local level. A lot of them, such as LymeDisease.org, Global Lyme Alliance. There's a lot of them, and they in each organization is working with the community to to head off different areas of the struggles that we face, like testing and research and funding, things of that nature. But a lot of them will provide the education that you need to educate yourself more on prevention and treatment and things of that nature. Also, there are only a few places that will actually test and do what I call the Western blot or a full panel scale of testing for not only the Lyme disease bacteria, which is Borrelia, but they also will test for co-infections, which are very common when you get bitten by a tick. They don't only release the bacteria Borrelia, but they release Babesia, Ehrlichia, Bartonella. So a lot of the times you don't just have Borrelia. One of the reasons why you're having so many symptoms is because you have more than, you know, one pathogen in your system that is essentially shutting your body down and breaking down your immune system. So it is important to get tested, especially if you're experiencing symptoms and having issues where you're going from doctor to doctor and they are telling you, we don't exactly know what's going on here, or all of your tests are coming back normal, but yet you're experiencing symptoms and you know you're not crazy. So if you're having, you know, your normal blood work is coming back normal, but yet there's other things going on and they can't figure it out, then you probably should get tested. There's a, like Kayla had mentioned in our film, we indicate that there's over 300, it mimics over 365 other diseases. So there's Bell's palsy, there's MS, there's ALS, there's so many other diseases where the you have to test for these pathogens. You can't just simply treat the symptoms to help you get better. You have to make sure that you don't have these critters swimming in your blood and invading and taking over your body.
Frances Silva, thank you so much for your bravery in sharing this documentary, for sitting down with us today, for acknowledging, you know, so much that we don't talk about every day. And that's why we wanted to sit down with you. And we are so grateful to have had this conversation. For our listeners, we'll make sure we have all of the websites mentioned in our show notes so that you can continue to look for information on this. And is there anything you want to leave our listeners with? Just anyone who is out there maybe wondering if this is something that affects them or loved ones or any sort of hope?
You know, I myself have come across a lot of people who have often wondered if they should get tested or they've begun experiencing one autoimmune issue after another. To those people, I highly encourage that you get a full panel Western blot test, which is more than just the typical ELISA test taken at your primary care physician. You won't get the results that you need from that test. And then to those who are struggling, of course, with Lyme disease, those are my partners. Those are my family, because I know what you're going through. And I would just encourage you to hang on, to fight the fight, to not give up. One of my favorite sayings is, it's okay to go through the dark times, but don't stay there. Mm-hmm. And with Lyme disease, you will have many dark times, but don't stay there. Look for the light, look for hope, look for those who love you, you know, just and be encouraged with the fact that there is a way out. There's a way out if you don't give up and if you don't stop looking for it.
Frances, where can our listeners find you on social media if they want to stay up to date with what's going on in your life?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page called The Monster Inside Me Documentary. And we post there often. We post there regularly. We are giving updates right now on what's to come of our documentary. We are still in the process of trying to pick up a distributor to get it seen. We are hoping, you know, for a large distribution. That way, those in the community don't have to pay to download or rent or anything like that. But we don't know. We are working hard at that. And so the best place to find us would be on either Instagram or Facebook, or of course you could go directly to our website, themonsterinsideme.com.
Frances, thank you so much.
It's terrifying when you begin researching this and realizing that it isn't just ticks, that it's anything that can transmit blood. So when you think about it, it's mosquitoes, fleas, gnats, bed bugs, you name it. And they have the potential to transmit these pathogens, and it makes sense. And I just, it is such a, it's a disease that affects all of us, that any of us can get at any time. And we started this podcast out by saying we didn't think it affected us when we lived in California. And the truth is, anyone listening can get this at any moment. And that is a terrifying fact.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that Frances, you know, we ended with just your real life, very simple precautions that we can take to protect yourself from getting a tick bite. And we're so grateful that you guys are listening to this episode, because the best thing you can also do is just educate yourself, you know, just know where ticks flourish, know how you can dress appropriately, know what, you know, sprays you can use, and just, you know, beginning to check yourself. But what Frances is saying of it, of the different tests, that's such valuable information, because that bullseye mark. And if it seems confusing, you keep hearing us talking about the bullseye, just Google it. Just look up, you know, Lyme disease bullseye mark, and you'll have a clear picture of what it looks like. So then you can also, when you are doing tick checks, you can look for that as well. I think that that's really important to see as a reference. Giving yourself all the tools that you can to be educated enough to spot it when you see it, and know how to test for it when you feel that it might be something affecting you or a loved one.
Right. And after listening to this episode, if you want more information, you can go to our Instagram. We will have information on there. You can also research it. Like Frances said, the Global Lyme Alliance has a lot of information, and also LymeDisease.org. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Directionally Challenged. We have another great one coming up for you next week. Until then, stay safe, and we'll see you next week. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts. Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.